Welcome to Divine Feminine Rising with Mez Dalene. I'm Mez Dalene, and my intention with this podcast is to entertain, educate, and illuminate as I share the power and magic of the Divine Feminine. Thank you so much for being here. I'm grateful for your time and attention. This episode is about empathy and sensitivity. I'm an empath and have always felt what others feel. And when I was younger, I was an emotional mess. I didn't know how to differentiate between my feelings and the feelings of others. In fact, I didn't know there was a difference because it was just what was normal to me. I can't tell you how many times I was told, "You're just too sensitive." And yes, I was sensitive, for sure, but there was more to it than that. Once I learned what empathy was and that I was an empath, life started to get a bit easier, and I wanted to share some of what I learned in this episode. I'm hoping that it helps you if you're an empath or helps you to better understand your empathic loved ones. As I share my own story, I want you to see that empathy starts out feeling like a curse, but it can end up being a superpower. More on that later. It was during my second marriage that I learned the term empathy. My husband was passive, aggressive, and abusive. The National Center for Domestic Violence says passive-aggressive behavior is a hallmark of controlling and abusive relationships, but it's easy to become confused about what we mean by passive-aggressive behavior and what it looks like. Passive-aggressive is when someone is indirectly or covertly aggressive rather than being open and transparent about it. This was my husband. Definitely covert. They hide their aggression behind smiles, sarcasm, and other snarky behavior. One example is when someone says they are fine while looking sulky. We can see clearly that they are not fine, and we're left to second guess what the problem is. It then goes on to list 7 signs of passive-aggressive behavior, which all fit what I was going through at the time. I did seek counseling, and what I learned was that I was an empath, and I could always feel when my husband was angry, despite his denial and his proclamations of being fine. Because his anger was indirect and covert at the time, I never knew what he was angry about. His backhanded compliments and sarcasm, his silent treatment, and constant gaslighting all led me to believe that I was losing my mind. And so I sought counseling, which was great. My counselor helped me to understand what was going on, and that was the beginning of transforming my ability to feel into a superpower rather than a hindrance. If an empath can't tell the difference between where their emotional energy ends and where the other person's begins, they will quickly feel burned out in relationships, especially during trying times. So I learned during my research that there's actually 3 kinds of empaths. I always knew about the emotional empaths, and they are the best known type. They are the ones who feel all the feels. They feel what other people are feeling and have trouble differentiating between their feelings and other people's feelings, like I talked about. The superpower part of this is that you can't hide things from empaths. You can't lie to them because they feel your energy. They might not know what the truth is or what you're hiding, but they know you're not telling the truth. They know you're lying. So another type of empath is the physical empaths. They can feel the physical sensation of others in their own bodies. They actually experience the pain and discomfort and illness of others as if it's happening to themselves. Fortunately, I rarely experience this, and if I do, it's mild. But it seems that the superpower to this would be in a healing profession, especially with children and animals who might not be able to articulate their pain, an empath would know what was wrong, or at least the area that was involved, right? The third kind of empath are spiritual empaths, and I never thought of it this way before, but But this type possesses a deep understanding of the spiritual and energetic aspects of life. They can sense the energy fields of people, places, and objects, and often pick up on spiritual messages and insights that others might miss. This is definitely a superpower, but it's harder to put into words for sure. So for me, I'm both an emotional and spiritual empath, and I've always felt deeply connected to people, animals, and even plants, especially trees, and also deeply connected to what I call spirituality or the divine. So while empaths are really sensitive, there's also a term called highly sensitive people or HSPs, and that's a bit different. Highly sensitive people can also be empaths, but the difference is that in addition to feeling all the feels, they can be highly sensitive to external stimulus such as environmental smells, noise, chaos, and etc. I see this in some young children who act out because they're overstimulated. And as a teacher, I saw some kids just start screaming when the external stimulus was too much, and others just quietly start crying and shut down. I saw other teachers struggling with these kids and administration struggling with these kids. But because I used to be one of them, I could easily identify what was going on. So instead of disciplining them, I talked to them. And we came to an agreement that when they started to feel stressed out, they could just go sit down and take a breather. I trusted them to know when they needed this, and it worked. In fact, it worked super well. Another consideration when it comes to sensitivity and empathy is the impact of trauma on a person's hypersensitivity to their surroundings and emotions. This is a big topic. This topic of empathy, sensitivity, and post-traumatic stress. We're often a combination of these things, and studies show that empaths and highly sensitive people feel the effects of trauma more deeply. So it's very important to ask for help if you need it after a traumatic event. When I went to counseling, my counselor asked me questions, and I told him about bad things that had happened to me as a child, but I said other people had it much worse. And he said that what happened wasn't the most important thing. It was how I felt about what happened and how it continued to impact me that was the most important thing. His example was that some women can endure rape and eventually go on to live happy lives, and others become shut-ins who are afraid to leave their own homes. So it's not the action, but the reaction that can be so diverse. This made sense to me. It's important to do self-care when you're an empath or a highly sensitive person. And so I have a list of things I wanted to talk about that can be helpful, things that really helped me. First and foremost, top of the list, is if you're suffering from anxiety, depression, or post-traumatic stress, please reach out for help. Therapists can be a godsend, and sometimes just sharing your story with a friend or loved one can lessen the pain and help you begin to heal. I think that as women, we often keep silent about things. We're either shut down by parents or significant others, or made to feel that what we have to say isn't important. And when we do that, which is so common to do, especially if we've been a victim of trauma, our wounds fester because they're stuck in the dark and they continue to cause pain. But when we talk about things, we bring our wounds into the light and they can begin to air out and heal. So sometimes just being able to talk about something can lessen that pain, and it can start lifting that pain off of us. This is really important, and that is setting boundaries. Remember, no is a complete sentence. All you have to do is say no. You don't have to explain. You don't owe anybody an explanation why you're saying no. You can give it if you feel like it, but no is a complete sentence. Empaths tend to be helpers, so it's hard to say no. I remember I was at a talk by Jerry Dempulski, who wrote the book Love is Letting Go of Fear, and he said to live each day as if it were your last. You know, live each day with love. And I've always remembered that, and I've always tried to apply it in my life. And he said, if you knew that you were dying and somebody asked you to do something for them or to help them with something, would you do it? And I raised my hand, and he actually called on me, and I said, well, it depends on what it is. And he looked at me, I'll never forget this, and he said, let me be very clear here. If you had one day left on this earth, would you do something you didn't want to do for someone else? I got it, right? That was the start of me learning how to say no. Because I had a tendency to take on way too much, and then I was stressed out, and I wasn't always able to follow through with all the things that I hadn't said no to. And then later in my life, I heard this. Every time you say yes to something that you don't want to do, something that doesn't feed your soul, you're saying no to something that does. Wow. So remember that. Again, no is a complete sentence. Another way of setting boundaries for me is that I set periods of quiet time to give me time to process and recharge. I desperately need that. And so I have made that a boundary in my life. Sometimes I turn off the phone. Sometimes I leave town. It just depends on how much stress I've been under and how much recharging I need. Mindfulness is another thing that really helps, especially meditation. Now, for me, meditation was always a struggle. I can't still my mind to save my life. I cannot shut off my mind. I am ADHD, and my brain just kind of bounces around, and I would try and meditate and end up more stressed out instead of less stressed out. So what I found out is that meditation can be many things, not just sitting and quieting your mind. So I do sit, and I close my eyes, and I focus on my breathing. And instead of trying to just quiet my mind, I imagine a scenario. I might walk on the beach in my mind, or listen to the ocean waves, or walk through the forest, something like that, where I'm kind of doing a visualization. And that really helps a lot. Another thing I discovered was there's such a thing called walking meditations. And this is something that I do in nature, which brings me to the next thing that helps, and that's nature. It's calming and rejuvenating to spend time in nature. I suggest silencing your phone for periods of time to give yourself that ultimate quality time without interruption, but you don't have to. Sometimes just being in nature is enough, right? Just walking through the trees in a park around, you know, water, a lake, the ocean. For me, I live near the ocean, so I'm pretty lucky. I can walk on the beach and have that double juiciness of the sand under my feet and the sound of the waves coming in and out. Another thing that helps is creative activities. That can really help you recharge your energy. If you like to craft or paint or write, that's all really helpful. It helps you get your emotions out. For me, it's writing. I mean, I craft and I do art too, but the thing that really helps me is writing. I keep a journal that hopefully no one else will ever see, right? And I write my emotions down in this journal. And the reality is that when I'm upset, I write a lot more than when I'm happy. And the reason for that is because as I'm writing down my emotions of being upset, being depressed, being confused, or whatever's going on in my life, I start to feel better. It's like I'm getting them out of my body and onto the paper, and it works. I recommend it. Another thing that's critically important is to take care of your physical health by eating healthy, getting enough sleep, and exercising. Because, you know, everything is connected, body, mind, spirit, it's all connected. So if your body is deprived or ill, you don't feel so good emotionally. And if you're emotionally distressed, it can cause you to not feel good physically too. I use visualization as a method to protect my energy when I go out in the world. And I wanted to share that with you because I've shared it a lot and people find it helpful. I imagine surrounding myself with a bubble of light. And I can make that bubble as big or as small as I want. Usually it's just a few feet out from my body. And if I'm going into a particularly stressful situation where I know there might be some negative emotions going on, I imagine mirrors on the outside of my bubble. That way, if people send negative energy my way, it bounces back at them. When I create this bubble, I ask that I be shielded and protected, and to only allow love and light through the shield. It's a little more complex than that. It's like saying a prayer, and we all pray differently. We all ask differently. So use your own words with that, and it will really help you. For me, it helped me to learn detachment. This is a super important ingredient to using empathy as a superpower. And why is that, you might wonder? Feel another person's pain along with them, which empaths do. We feel other people's pain. But if we don't stay detached, we fall into that pain with them. And it's like we both fall into a deep hole. And so empaths want to help other people, but we can't lift them out of the hole if we're down in the hole with them, right? If we're feeling their pain too, then we both need help. So detachment allows us to feel their pain, but not fall into it with them. I don't know if this makes sense, but I can feel other people's pain. I'm aware of it, but I feel it as their pain. I don't take it on as my own pain, which is what I used to do before I understood this detachment thing. I would feel their pain, and then their pain would become my pain too. Detachment means that I feel their pain, but I separate my own feelings from theirs, so that I can be there for them emotionally and help them overcome their pain. So another aspect of empathic superpower is that empaths are usually very highly intuitive. We feel things that others don't feel and know things that other people don't know. But the better we're able to tell the difference between our emotions and those of others, the more energetically we can connect to our own feelings and to the divine or to spirit. So over my lifetime, I've been told by many people that I'm psychic. And I don't believe I'm psychic, but I am highly intuitive. And I feel both the seen and the unseen. I believe that my empathy and intuition give me a strong connection and understanding of the divine feminine, for instance. Research shows that women are more deeply empathetic than men, and many cultures believe that women are naturally connected to the divine, whereas men have to study hard and work at having a spiritual connection. It feels like these two things might be connected, but I'm not a scientist. What I know is that I feel very spiritually connected, and I'm also an empath. So the most important thing is to learn to believe in your ability and that you know what is true because you're more energetically connected as an empath and as an intuitive. Because you feel the truth, you can help people in ways that others might not be able to. An example of that in my experience was someone once told me they were fine, but they had a health issue, and they acted like it was no big deal, right? I hugged this person, and I felt that her health issue was extreme, and I asked her if her health issue was life-threatening. And she looked down and she kind of hemmed and hawed and said she didn't really want to talk to anybody about it because she didn't want anybody to know about it because she was afraid they would treat her differently. And then she confessed that indeed she had a life-threatening health issue. And she asked me to keep it confidential, which of course I did. This woman was actually dying. And because I felt that when I hugged her and I asked her about it, she told me what was going on, which brought it into the light and gave her a sense of relief. I could see it. It was like a release for her to tell me about it. And after that, she was able to tell her loved ones, which in the end actually resulted in a miracle. And that's a whole nother story. So being an empath or a highly sensitive person or both can be hard, but it's also a blessing. It can be hard to feel all the feels, whether it's a person in pain, a room full of stressed out people, or a crying baby. But the blessing is that because you feel them, you can connect with them on a deep level and help them to know that you understand them and can help them. It is indeed a superpower. Thank you for joining me today. My mission is to help bring back the balance of the divine feminine to spirituality. Please share my podcast with anyone who might be interested in the divine feminine and personal empowerment. And if you'd like to connect with me further, feel free to reach out. You can email me at mezdaline@mezdaline.com. or find me online at mezdaline.com, Divine Feminine Rising with mezdaline.com, Mezdaline Bliss or Mezdaline on Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. And also, please join my mailing list. And once I figure out my new email program, I'll actually start sending out newsletters. Allow the light of your love to shine. Be the change. Lead the way, and always remember your light of love is a needed gift to the world that only you can give.